Daniel Lewis Tyson is available is broadcast live every Monday night at 10 o'clock on Resonance 104.4 FM on digital radio. And you can also listen online via resonancefm.com.
You're tuned to Resonance 104.4 FM, the art of listening.
Hey, how you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday, the 23rd of February 2015, with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, coming to you live at 10 o'clock on Resonance 104.4 FM. We have almost made it through another winter. The spate of bank holidays I despise so much as they break up the routine I so desperately need in my life now, just around the corner. How are you, South London? I hope you're all well. 15 attempts on the gate tonight. That's 54 from 8 shows this year. Seriously, that gate is killing me. On this week's show, I get some tougher than tough love at a meeting. A blind man brings me to my knees. I've got a low-key Nectar Points update as I make it through the 200 barrier in unspectacular fashion. We have our first international entry in How Clean Is Your Mantelpiece. We're in SW8's Finest Cafe too. And last but not least, we have, of course, the SW8 Beer Dump, which last week saw the crowning of new Beer Dump poster boy Minza. Will the champions of old come together to stop the new kid on the beer dumping block? To guess what alcoholic beverage has been dumped in South Lambeth this week, tweet the name of the drink to me at 1607 West Egg, hashtag SW8 Beer Dump. Have a look on my timeline from this morning onwards and you'll see several shots of this week's beer dump. All that and more on this week's Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available, going out to all 11 South London boroughs. We do not recognise Merton on this show. You know how it works now. Merton are like someone we kissed at a party back in 1993, whose face we can no longer even remember properly. Engineer number one, Chris Dixon, no beer dump mug himself, looking to make it 5 in a row tonight. He's at the controls. How are you feeling about this, Chris?
Nervous, actually. Nervous. I noticed, actually, that you tweeted, including the picture, before the show. Now, I haven't seen it, so I didn't want to, because I might overthink it, you see.
Yeah, you've got your methods, your ways.
I can't see that photo until we're in the moment.
I'll tell you this, South London, he is looking confident. it was an up and down week last week for me, culminating in a bad moment yesterday afternoon when, in making small talk to get me through an awkward silence, I put my left foot in a dog stall. I could not believe this. Normally, my intense dog stall pavement scanning means I can get through our muck-heavy streets as best as it's possible to make it through our ugly landscape. I bleached the sole of my left shoe before stepping back into the flat, in addition to wet wiping it carefully with some antibacterial wipes, but rather carelessly and predictably sprayed bleach onto my best trousers and ruined them. I'm not a small talker, I'm not a multitasker, and my lack of focus pushed me into that muck. I didn't just step on it, I actually stood on it throughout the 5 or 6 seconds of small talk, and I became aware almost instantly that I was standing on some sort of mound, and I frantically tried to bring the small talk to a premature end. It cost me my best pair of trousers. Moments like that make me think success is as far away as ever. A Tuesday, I was at my aunt's. Remember, she listened to us for the first time last week after I tuned in her 30-year-old radio cassette recorder into Resonance. "You talk very fast," she said by way of constructive feedback. "Your aunt even moved the flower vase that was in front of the radio to listen to you," said my uncle. I told her, "What's the point of that? It's not like you're going to be able to see him." My uncle then handed me a letter. "Can you look this letter over for me?" he said. My aunt snapped, "You can't be expecting him to have time to read stuff for you now. He's a radio star. He's busy." "A star," exclaimed my uncle. "I saw him in Iceland yesterday buying a Chinese takeaway for £1. What kind of star is that?" "Oh, shut up," my aunt snapped back. "I bet he's very important now." She turned to me. "You probably carry a bit of weight now, Danny. I'm sure with a couple of calls, you can probably get permission to scatter my ashes in the park. She was referring to the pleasure gardens in Vauxhall, where she has in the last year or two told me she wants her ashes scattered. We won't have to go through all the red tape now. I had no way of explaining to her that as the hyper-local radio host, I got no weight whatsoever. And besides which, I'm not walking through a South London park with an urn and scattering ashes into a park that I know is wrecked by dogs on a daily basis. Thursday saw me travelling east for a couple of meetings I had. Mid-afternoon, I found myself on the Central Line. My train was momentarily delayed as it arrived. The platform announcer got involved. To the man with the beard holding the doors open, you are delaying this train. I heard that and I thought that doesn't really narrow it down. Not post-2012 when the beard renaissance really took off. If you're a platform announcer, you need to find another distinguishing characteristic to be referencing, like a man with poorly angled sideburns, for instance, or someone with a fleshy cutaneous growth on their face that for some inexplicable reason they've so far failed to get removed. Platform announcers were really bugging me on Thursday. I don't often travel by underground these days. I've no real need to. And I suppose I'd forgotten how some of them have a genuine love for their own voice. Just after midday, the tiresome platform announcer on the northbound Victoria line, who I understand is something of a minor YouTube star, really did irritate me. Don't worry, be happy, he said, like it's 1991 all over again. Just chill behind the yellow line, he continued. I don't want to chill. I've never wanted to chill. I'm not a chill kind of guy, South London. I'm going to my grave without ever using that word outside of this particular story. I simply wasn't buying any of that 20-year-old homespun, look how laid back I am philosophy. If I was running Victoria Station, I'd give this platform announcer one day to vary his dated patter. My second meeting on Thursday afternoon was an absolute disaster. Myself and this guy, we met outdoors at this venue despite the rain as the guy still smokes. Put your bag on the floor, he said, noticing I wasn't very relaxed in the outdoor setting. I'd rather not put my bag on the floor, I said. I'm finding it very difficult to talk to another man when he has his bag like that on his lap. Just doesn't look right, said the guy. The floor is clean, you can put your bag on the floor. Certainly, keeping my bag on my lap wasn't the most masculine of looks. I recognise that. This yard gets swept every day, said the man. That wasn't going to make any difference to me. The fact is, there was a lot of foot flow through the yard. You could sweep that yard, but there were people coming in off the street constantly. But I was curious about the venue's broom use. What happens with a broom, I asked. Is it outdoor specific? We have one broom, said the man. See, I don't think a broom should have dual functionality, I explained. So I got to buy another broom for you to put your bag on the floor, wondered the man. I'm just explaining where I stand on brooms, I said. That's all. But you're going to sit through our meeting with your bag on your lap like some old woman? The bag wasn't going on the floor. I kept it on my lap throughout the meeting, irking the guy, which may have led to the meeting concluding with some tougher than tough love advice. Dan, you are anal, he said. Okay, you are a bad decision maker, right? You are self-indulgent, okay? You are a mug that works for free. Fair point, couldn't argue with that. Your career is a shop selling hats no one wants to buy. Admittedly, there is no disputing, metaphorical hat orders have been low. You might have a couple of orders every year from the Himalayas, but beyond that, nobody gives a monkey's about your hats. As I left the meeting, my confidence somewhat dented, the man added. Just so we're clear, I'm not interested in your hats. And you know what else? This venue isn't going to buy another broom. We're going to keep using one broom indoors and outdoors. Then on Friday morning for the second time that week, just before 10 on both occasions, on the junction of Thorn Road and South Lambeth Road, I helped the same blind man across a couple of roads. Not looking to portray myself as some chivalrous guy here, just giving you some context to the story. On the second occasion Friday morning, I caught up with him as he ran his walking stick across some rails. "You need help getting across the road?" I asked, pulling him and his stick away just before it connected with the umpteenth discarded chicken bone. "Yes, please," he said. As I gave him the running commentary on each of the roads I got him across, he said, "I recognise you. You're the nasal man from the other day." Brilliant. It's almost as if the man that told me if it wasn't for the Himalayan market, I'd be selling no hats at all, had had a ring round and got anybody that came into contact with me to cut me down at the knees.
Estáis escuchando Daniel Ruiz Tizón está disponible en Resonance 104.4 FM.
It is at 10 minutes past 10 now. The sting was a little late. That's the kind of evening we're having here. You're listening to Daniel Ruiz-Tyson is available with me, Daniel Ruiz-Tyson, live on Resonance 104.4 FM. The final days of South London as we know it, with non-affordable housing cropping up in every available space, pushing out the great unwashed towards the unrecognised South London borough of Merton as the Ponces continue to hoover up territory south of the river, street by street, pub by pub, bringing with them their running clubs, climbing centres and yoga studios, conferring village status on the streets that we grew up in. A new South London that is not for me or you, where middle-class graduates with a fondness for wearing chinos and froth-heavy coffees are determined to save the world when they have no idea that so many of the natives in the 11 recognised boroughs they have discovered are too busy trying to save ourselves to be concerned with what is happening to the world. The time has come for you to ask yourself, who are you, South London? Who are you really? Who do you want to be? Who do you think you should be? Will you fight alongside me until the last South London road without a Costa Star Nero falls? Will you? Don't answer me now. Think it through. An email now from Paul Minns, last week's beer dump winner. Minza has competed, remember, in just three beer dumps and guessed all three beers correctly. Once he learned the trick was to get his entry in early to secure the win, Paul was always likely to secure his first title, and he's very kindly shared his feelings on the win with us. "Hi, Daniel. I listened to the podcast this morning. I'm over the moon about the beer dump victory. I have to admit, when you said I was one to watch last week, it motivated me hugely. I'm taking this seriously now. I've even moved my chair at work so I look out onto some letterboxes that are typically bejeweled with cans and bottles left by the local street drinking community." Impressive stuff there from Paul. Beer dump training, very dedicated on his part. Paul continues, "This enables me to challenge myself on a daily basis. As you can see from the ropey photo attached, a lonely can of Red Bull sits there this morning. Don't worry about sending the badge. I'm not much of a badge wearer, and you probably don't need the admin. All the best, Minza." That's a nice email, but will Paul still be this accessible three or four beer dump wins down the line? I remember in my days as a football journalist, when young players started out, they were always willing to give you an interview. 2 years in the first England camps down the line, they turned into monsters and you had to jump a number of hoops just to get an interview. Let's hope Paul has a good partner and family behind him that can ensure he stays grounded and tattoo sleeve free. Doesn't want the Resonance badge, though. I think Baxter Shank may have set in motion a pattern of winners not accepting their prizes. This is threatening to become the equivalent of the non-celebration in football when players who played three times for some club refuse to celebrate having scored against the said club. This refusing to accept our low-quality prizes might impact on future winners who might genuinely want their prizes but might now feel pressured to follow in the footsteps of Baxter and Minza. There are rumours circulating on social media, just this morning, in fact, of a beer dump special in which Minza, world number one Nick Bryan and Nearly Man Higgs Boson One all compete against one another in a beer dump of champions special that will involve our own Chris Dixon too. I can't confirm or deny those stories just yet. This week's Nectar Points update now. I began the week on 197 points worth 98p, breaking the 200 points barrier merely a formality, or so I thought. But I really scraped through just 4 points accumulated, thanks in no small part to copious bottles of sparkling water being purchased. I finished the week on 201 points worth a pound. I don't think I'll break the magic 500 points barrier before the new Nectar Points changes come in this spring. It's dawning on me that I've had my last 500 points for some time, I think. Another points update next week. 14 minutes past 10. How clean is your mantle piece now? My dad advised me when assessing a potential partner to always study the mantelpiece in their home. If the mantelpiece is dusty, my dad said, imagine how unclean their body's likely to be. And I've pretty much followed that rule. So those of you who've managed to hang on to your mantelpieces in this era of shrunken accommodation, we want to see how clean your mantelpieces are. Dare you put up a picture of your mantelpiece for us to examine. A couple of weeks ago, we had Chris Winstanley's emotional mantelpiece, as it was memorably described by Catherine Johnston. This week, Rebecca in Boston, a big friend and supporter of the show since its early podcast days, has submitted her mantelpiece, the first international one we've had. It's gone up on Twitter a few minutes ago. Chris has Rebecca's email.
She says, in my defence, I am still taking down my Christmas clutter. I have also been buried in many, many, many feet of snow. I am sure you have heard about Boston being caught in a snow blitz for the last month. I have 10 feet of frozen, solid snow walls outside my cramped street. There is nowhere to walk, stand or park. We do not have public transport within walking distance. My mantelpiece is usually very bare bones and simple. I am in the middle of cleaning out and getting rid of clutter. I took in so many pieces from relatives who have passed over the last year, and I am finally getting through everything and letting go of stuff I don't need. I want an organised house and hope it extends to a more organised mind as a result. I only have one mantelpiece. It's natural stone and blue stone. I covered the mantel with real moss from the forest because I'm mad, and I go over the top for the holidays. Usually it's just my late gran's antique decaying mirror, the Union Jack frames. Hey, I'm an Anglophile American. I like the look of the flag. And sometimes small vases or vases, is it? If you were from that side, I don't know, but vases will go with of wild flowers, or the vintage tin piece from an old house, or the white fleur-de-lis tile I picked up in New Orleans years ago. I try to keep it tidy and classic. I'm very grateful for the fire, as living by the sea in an often brutal place, the wild winds of all the seasons results in power outages at times, especially in the wilder winters. I love fireplaces. It is real, by the way. No gas in sight.
I actually forgot the fire picture. There were two pictures we got, Chris.
Right.
What do you make of that picture, though? It's hard to see. We can't obviously tell how clean the mantelpiece is because it's covered in moss, but that is strange.
It is strange. The moss itself, I don't know if she's cleaned the underside of the moss to remove any kind of dirt or well, I mean, that's dirt, isn't it? That's dirt on your mantelpiece, potential filth. Or is it perhaps even moss that she's taken from a tree? Tree bark, that would be cleaner, wouldn't
basically
it?
We're after more information on the moss that would be useful.
I thought that was butcher's grass initially, and
yeah,
I thought butcher's
like
grass
it.
On a mantelpiece would be quite odd.
Union Jack frames.
I'm glad she's American.
Rebecca does I know come to Europe a lot. I think she's got a thing about Rome in particular, spends a lot of time writing in Rome. It is our first international entry. What are these? A couple of bonsai trees on the edges?
I don't know if they're bonsai or if they're sort of ornamental. They're very well kept if they're bonsai. Tell us, are they synthetic or are they living? I do like the fleur-de-lis from New Orleans.
I was very impressed with the way you pronounced that. And I like the vases.
The vases, yes. I'm correct us if we're wrong. It depends, obviously, on where you're from in the States, I think. Maybe some of them do say vases.
Yeah, aluminum is one of my favourites.
I mean, that's just missing letters. There's
it's
no need. No need.
Keep those mantelpieces coming in. Rebecca, thanks for...
It is beautiful, though.
It is.
And unique, unusual.
Get us more information on the mosque. Chris and I will be here waiting for that. Tweet your shots to at 1607 West Egg, hashtag mantelpiece, or email DRT available at westegg1607.co.uk, and we'll analyse them and see how clean you might be as a potential mate for someone.
Daniel Ruiz Tizón está tan disponible...
Do remember, Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available. Gets another airing on Resonance on Friday at 5 p.m. And the podcast is out from the early hours of Tuesday morning on iTunes. Do rate and review it on iTunes. If that is how you listen to the show, it does make a difference to the show's visibility in the store. If you'd like to support my work, click on the PayPal link on the blog. You can't miss it. There will be news on the show's future this side of Easter. Monday night is, of course, Beer Dump Night, and this is your last call for SW8 Beer Dumps. Tweet them to me. Don't forget the hashtag SW8 Beer Dump. Let's have a look at tonight's Beer Dump shot. Chris has been calling these right since returning to the show midway through January.
Let's have a look. Let's have a look.
Correctly identifying all four beers that have appeared atop the lockable suggestion box. He's just dismissed it. He's just dismissed it. You've made me feel like I'm wearing a dress here. Do I need you to write something on the back?
It is mildly serendipitous, to be fair. I'm 99% sure I know what that is. So...
just as I've got
write it down, Chris.
Yeah, and we'll have a look at it in the next 5 minutes. So Chris has written his beer on the back of the paper. I can't.
You've given away less than you usually do on that one. I'm
really.
Yeah.
See, I get the impression I've given away too much this week.
Right. Okay.
So Chris has written his answer on the back of the photograph.
This is going to be an agonising 5 minutes, Dan.
It is time to visit the cafe now, the South Lambeth Road Portuguese Cafe that is holding out against the massive redevelopment of SW8, just as the village in Asterix held out against the might of Caesar and the Roman Empire. Unlike Asterix's village, I get the feeling the cafe and its like are doomed. This week, news reached me of a competition in which 74 professional design teams from around the world submitted designs for a new pedestrian cycle bridge linking Nine Elms to Pimlico. What gets me is if you look at the designs, you can see them on the Londonist website. In the background, you can see Eagle Wharf on the north side of the Thames off Grosvenor Road. That's the riverside apartment I promised my mum when I was 17 and just embarking upon my long stay in my Z-bed that we'd be living in when I retired at 22. It was, of course, a hopelessly overconfident promise. I accept that. My point, though, is none of the new buildings cropping up every other week this side of the river in SW8 can match the beauty of Eagle Wharf. I remain in love with those apartments. Back to the cafe. This year, I've been interested to see a couple of guys who've both been coming into the cafe for years, but separately, without barely acknowledging one another. This year, though, they've struck up a close friendship. I don't know how this has happened. They tend to sit at the table directly in front of my toilet table, one of only two tables positioned next to the heating in the cafe. And every day they do this massive man hug, which involves, without fail, three pats on each other's back. These are both middle-aged men. They would have grown up and lived three or four decades without the existence of the man hug. They knew there was, or rather they knew the world before the advent of the man hug. They would have seen the hug breaking through. To embrace the man hug this late in their life is the equivalent of a middle-aged man getting a tattoo after spending over half their life ink-free. I think they're getting in on the younger man's game. So they've got this man hug going on every day. It's like the old school handshake and the bumping fists favoured by the younger street cred chasing gentleman has been superseded by the man hug. And I'm wondering whether either of these gentlemen are thinking this has gone too far, but they just don't know now how to scale it back. Will their friendship survive the scaling back? If one guy was to just offer his hand one morning, will the other wonder what's going on? What if something momentous happens to one of these guys one day? Maybe one of them becomes a father to an imaginary child, or better still, a real child. When you've been dishing out the man hug day in, day out, what do you have left when you go to greet your man hugged, exhausted friend? Meantime, I got a glimpse of Southpaw's wrists on Saturday morning, Southpaw being the affable young waiter with the low-slung, tall-glass delivery style. I was taken aback. He's not a chubby guy, but he has the fattest wrists I can remember seeing. If you were to get into a struggle with him and he managed to get those wrists around your neck, it is over for you. This week's Future Me alerts for new listeners. Future Me is the old man I fear becoming. Always alone, just 35 years older. And it strikes me that we appear to be at different ends of the same life. On Tuesday the 17th and Wednesday the 18th, Future Me was in the cafe at 10:14 hours precisely. Thursday 19th of February, 10:05 hours, his earliest arrival of last week. And this morning, Future Me arrived at 10:14 hours, again in his impressive grey duffel coat. I think there's a period in life where the duffel coat doesn't work. It's either a young man's coat or an old man's coat. In between, for me personally, I don't feel that coat works. If I make it to Future Me's age, doubtful, that might be my final coat of a life. High in underachievement. Back in the cafe next week. Before we go, it is the SW8 beer dump. Every Monday morning, I post a picture of this week's alcoholic dump for you to look at. A bottle or can of alcohol that has been dumped atop the lockable suggestion box outside the Stockwell Vets. A place that back in the mid-80s used to be Revelle's, a unisex hair salon that I visited a couple of times, tired as I was by Andy's inconsistent haircutting on land or road. The guy in Revelle's was called Angelo, as so many seem to be. Maybe hairdressers take on the name Angelo the way old Roman emperors took on the name Caesar. My eye contact has always been poor, used to infuriate my dad, who often used to terminate our exchanges abruptly to demand why I was looking at his hair. Angelo once lifted my head up and urged me to look at myself in the mirror. "See yourself as I see you," he said. I was just into my teens. I thought, wow, that's powerful. A few years later, I'm watching a video of the Police on their Synchronicity tour back in 84 when they were arguably the biggest band on the planet. Sting takes a camera, points it at the audience and says, "See yourself as I see you." This took place before my trip to Revelle's. I saw that and I thought, had Angelo seen that? Had he ripped off Sting? Anyway, to enter the beer dump, all you have to do is tweet me, remembering to include the SW8 beer dump hashtag with your entry. This week's shot went up this morning just before 10 on Twitter, Instagram and the Facebook page. One of our easiest ones for some times, I think, judging by the entries. A distinctive size bottle this week. We're playing for a Resonance FM badge. Someone is getting that badge. Current defending champion, remember, Menza, world number one. Nick Bryan still searching for his first win of the year. That must be preying on his mind now. 8 shows without a title. Chris has this week's entries in chronological order.
And a big smile and to go along with it. World number one Nick Bryan was the first one to tweet this morning. His entry arriving within 2 minutes of the picture going up. Cobra, says Nick. 7 minutes later, Pete Domican still seeking a first title tweeted. Got to be Cobra. Baxter Shank, who claimed his first win a fortnight ago, tweets, Cobra it is. John M. Welch, late to the party once again, tweeting 39 minutes after Nick's opening entry. Looks like I've been beaten to the punch again on this, but Cobra. Nectar Leviathan, Paul S. Davis tweeted just before 11, Cobra. Looks like I am too slow. Conference call prevented me from answering earlier. Can all those people be wrong? Mickey Boyd seems to think so, tweeting at lunchtime, the man with the 48-inch greying chest tweeted, I'm going for 80's favourite Holston pills. A tweet from 13:37 from Phil the D. Filth D. Yes, someone's already said that's Cobra by now, right?
Higgs Boson 1 has tweeted just now, suggest that an 11 a.m. SW8 beer dump kickoff current time conflicts with 10 a.m. team meeting at work, thus hampering a prompt entry. Super Kevin Turve making his debut and kind enough to already give an iTunes review. That's what it's about, albeit one with a heroin reference. He tweets, looks like a cobra to me. Did you have a taste of it, then spit it back when the fag butt touched your lips.
Nice.
Sadly, defending champion Minza has done a petrol blue pommery and failed to defend his title the following week. We've obviously got what Chris has Chris took a look at the picture 5 minutes ago. Chris has written Cobra as well.
I have written Cobra.
But you said you were struggling with that. You said you, there was a moment where you weren't sure.
Well, I looked at it and went, yes, Cobra. And then I went, well, hang on. I do that, you see.
But you trusted your instincts.
I trust my instincts, Daniel. They haven't failed me in the 4 weeks previously, and I went with them again.
Time for an unconvincing drum roll, and this week's winner is Nick Bryan, correctly guessing a 660 milliliter bottle of Cobra, the first dumping of this pale Indian lager in SW8.
That's monumental, because this just goes to show you the effort that Daniel Ruiz Tyson is going to make these pictures difficult. I thought that was a 250ml bottle of Cobra. I got the perspective all wrong on that. You must have gone half a mile away from that to take the picture.
Yeah, I'm going pretty far back. But
660ml is a monster.
Everyone's guessing, everyone almost guessed correctly this week. Nick claims a fourth title to cement his status as the world number one, quite possibly the most important win of his four. Questions were beginning to be asked to Nick, but he has put the upstarts, the Menzers and the Shanks in their places this week. Confirmed he's still the man to beat. That's the show this week. Follow me on Twitter, 1607 West. They're coming up after this, the gravy with Will Ward. Thanks to engineer number one, Chris Dixon. Chris is back Thursday, 6:30 with Cafe Calcio. Shoulders back, South London. I'm back next Monday. I'm Daniel Ruiz Tyson, and this week I have been available.